Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my colleague and coworker Beth DeBile. Beth,
hey,
welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So Beth and I work together here at Dunham & Company. Beth, what is your title here?
So I'm a digital strategist here.
Yeah, and how long have you been here?
I've been here for 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Okay, so we just had a conversation about your name. Your name is Beth DeBile. I just found that out. I have called you, like almost everybody else, Beth DeBile. What's the background on the name, and how do you really say it?
So, well, technically, way back when, it's French, but yeah. My dad was born in Nicaragua, so we have some Latin in us. And so in Spanish, it's DeBile. And when I was little, we always used to say DeBile. And so growing up, I would say, it's DeBile. And then somewhere along the line, it got changed to DeBile, and I started changing it to DeBile. And so now that's what everyone calls me.
Okay. Don't give in. Don't give in.
I like DeBile. I like the flair on it.
Yeah.
For ease sake, yeah, DeBile.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so we are talking about social media, and this is we're going to talk a lot about YouTube and millennials. So you're a millennial, and you are a got my phone going off. So while we're recording this, by the way, I have a new virtual reality camera, a 360 camera, the Insta360 on my iPhone. So we're testing this. So many of you might be watching in 360. So this is our first 360 video. So we're going to wave. You can see us turn, and you can look at Beth, you can look at me. You can see us throughout the podcast. So we're trying something new here in this podcast and experimenting a little bit. So let's talk about, you are a YouTuber.
Yes.
How did you get into YouTube? When was your first YouTube video creation?
So in high school, I was always the person, I got this camera, and the point and shoots back then were like super bulky, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got my first point and shoot, and I was super excited, and I would always be that friend that had the camera, always taking the pictures, doing the videos, and at the end of every year in high school, I would do montage videos of our year and like do music and whatever, put the videos together and share it. It was basically like vlogging before I got into vlogging, and then I've always wanted to create a YouTube channel, just didn't do it in college for time's sake, just didn't make time for it. So I started my channel post-college graduation in 2014.
Yeah.
So I launched it at the beginning of 2014, didn't really start pumping out content till probably September of 2014, so it's been a little over 2 years now.
So yeah. So why? You just wanted to make a video, or what was your first video?
It was an intro video to my channel.
Okay.
It was really embarrassing. Actually, it's still there. But it was, hey guys, I'm so excited to make this channel. I've always wanted to make it because I love making videos. I love the creativity behind it. It's a hobby for me to edit, to create, to think of the story, to just talk to people, even though it's a camera, but it's really people.
Because
it's your subscribers. So for me, it was just a fun process and a way for me to keep making videos post like college, you know, organizations and things like that I would do it for.
So you started making videos. What, tell us your process from like an idea to recording it to everything. What's your process making a video?
So for ideas, sometimes they'll come to me randomly while I'm driving or watching a TV or maybe watching another YouTuber do something that I think is cool.
Yeah.
And I keep a note in my phone. And so anytime I have an idea, I'll write it down and say, oh, this is a good idea. Or I know I want to make this video, so I'm going to start building the content as I think of things.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just random, like, oh, I got this new mascara and I want to do a review.
Yeah.
So I kind of build a content calendar in a way to where I just have a list of videos that I want to do, and I'll know I want to put this one out at this time. So once I have that, depending on the video, I'll either kind of write out a script or write some notes about it, or I'll just wing it depending on what the video is. And from there, I'll just sit in front of the camera and go for it.
Yeah.
Depending on the video, it takes like 5 minutes to 30 minutes, you know, if it's going to be a lot of B-roll footage or just me talking to the camera. And then after that, I will upload it to my computer, and then I use Adobe Premiere Pro to edit it.
Step back.
Yeah.
Just technical. What camera do you use? Do you use a microphone?
Oh, yeah.
What's the equipment you use?
So now I use a Canon 70D DSLR camera, and then I have my tripod that I set it on.
Okay.
And then I just use the kit lens that came with it.
Yeah.
As far as microphone, I used to just use on-camera audio, but it was so echoey and bad. And so I bought these, I think they were $1 or $3 lapel mics from Amazon. I'm not kidding. And they're bomb. Like, they work so good. So I started using that for a while, but then I didn't really like the, I guess, more professional look of having a lapel for my type of videos.
Yeah.
So then I bought an on-camera Yeah, I bought a boom mic from Rode. And so it's the Video Mic Go or something. And so I use that now, and it's been so much better for my audio. I don't have to worry about, you know, having the lapel showing or trying to talk really loud for the camera audio to capture it. So that's what
I use. Okay, so you recorded that, and then you use Premiere to edit?
I use Premiere. So I used to use iMovie just because it came on the Mac and I had it.
Yeah.
And then I really liked Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
So user-friendly, like iMovie, and it can do so much more than iMovie.
Yeah.
But I had the trial version, and I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I got Adobe Premiere Pro through this student edition when I was still in college pricing for the Adobe Creative Suite before they had the cloud.
Okay.
And so I had that already on my computer, so I just learned it and started using that, which is so much better than iMovie. It's just not as user-friendly, so you have to know how to operate it.
And then so you edit on Premiere, and then talk the process of uploading the video, titling the video, giving the description, tagging it. How do you do that? What's your process?
Yeah, so after I edit the video, which is the longest part, part of that process is coming up, you know, with what do I want, any call to actions in the video itself, and having to do that process in the editing, and then insert your end slate and all of that. So once it's exported and ready to go, titling, it depends on what I'm talking about. Again, if it's a vlog, like a travel vlog or something like that, I'll usually use maybe a quote from the vlog, or I'll use what it is, traveling the south of France, like the recent one I did.
Yeah.
And then for any, if it's a how-to video, like one time I did a makeup tutorial, like one mascara versus the other.
Yeah.
So it says review and test of this mascara versus this mascara.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking through with titling and tagging and descriptions are keywords. So it's called metadata. So that's what I really try to pay attention to is, what keywords are people going to be searching for to find my video, or what do I want them to search for to find my video?
Yep.
So for my France video, for example, I did traveling the south of France as the title, and then tags were France, south of France, travel vlogger, travel vlogs, you know, travel the south of France. And then I listed each, part of France that I went to, like Monaco and Monte Carlo, anything that people could be searching where I'm like, oh, this would be a good video for them to see.
Yep.
And then in the description, again, just to reiterate all of that, I said, me and my family traveling south of France, we went, in this video, we go to Monaco and so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then I always try to link any of my social media in my description too. So I'll give credit to any music I used, any copyrighted stuff. And then, my social media links in case anyone wants to find me on my other platforms.
That's good. Fun.
Yeah.
So what, so as you've done this, what's your most popular video today?
I actually just put it on private the other day.
Okay. The most popular one on private.
So mostly my most popular ones are when I talk about Disney.
Okay.
Anything about Disney, I did the college program. Yeah. And so whenever I talk about that, they're really popular because I have a lot of followers who are interested in that.
Yeah.
But my most popular one to date is the 9 things that make guys more attractive.
Yeah. And why did you put it on private?
It's at like 200,000 views now or something like that. And I didn't want to be known for that video. And so I got nervous and I put it on private. And I probably put it on public again at some point, but right now it's on private. And I just started getting all these comments that I kept deleting and blogging. And so I was like, okay.
So church leaders ask me all the time, who are all these crazy people that are commenting on YouTube? Like, you get the craziest comments. Who are they? Like, why is YouTube like this magnet for crazies?
Yeah. So I do get comments from other YouTubers too. So most of my comments are either other YouTubers or YouTube friends or people from the YouTube community or just junior high schoolers.
Yeah.
College, whatever, super crazy YouTube fans. Because some people just watch YouTube nonstop and they're the commenters.
Yeah.
But then I also get...
Who are those people? What is that demographic, would you say?
Age range or...
Yeah, age range.
My biggest demographic personally is like the high school age to the college age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even now, most of my friends that watch YouTube nonstop, I mean, it's junior high and high school, but I would say high school.
So
it would be
like 13 to 20.
Living
on YouTube.
And I mean, there's older than that too, obviously, and younger, but I would say that's the main demographic.
Yeah.
But then the other commenters
are, I mean, I feel like it's just people who are on the internet all day long and don't actually want to have a social life, and they just want to comment on their opinions on other people's videos or something. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. It is a crazy world on YouTube comments. So, okay, so YouTube, so popular with millennials. Churches are always saying, how do we reach millennials? And then basically what they do is they take their sermons, their 30-minute sermons, and just put them on YouTube. What is that a good idea? But or if you were to coach a church or a ministry, mm-hmm. here's how you should use YouTube. And let's talk about churches specifically. How would you coach them? What would you tell them? Here's a good use for this platform.
Yeah, I would definitely keep putting the sermons on there.
Yeah.
The main thing with YouTube is consistency. And so definitely focus on consistently uploading content, and maybe, you know, not everyone on YouTube is going to watch a 30, 50 minute sermon.
Yeah.
So I would say to pull clips out of that sermon and make shorter clips. The average watch time on YouTube is like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you can cut down a video to like 3 minutes or less, maybe have a call to action at the end to visit your website or whatever you're asking them to do, I think that would engage people more. And then even having the pastor or some of the main personalities at the church doing direct videos of content. So say you had this 30-day reading plan or something that you wanted, I would put that on YouTube and do like a daily devotional, and then have a step of, oh, you can, you know, buy this booklet and follow along for these 30 days. We're going to be doing this new series and it's just for YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I think that would capture a lot of millennials' attention and just people who are more active on YouTube. But then you also have the sermons there too for people who are actually searching for spiritual content that they, you know, want to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. So a lot of churches will say that takes so much time. Like, can they justify that time, or how do they manage their time to optimize it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I think it depends on what are your goals. I mean, what are you trying to get out of it?
Yeah.
Is YouTube a platform that SEO is so important in YouTube, you know, most popular search engine.
Right.
So
right.
I think that in itself, if you're trying to really impact people, you need to be on it, you know, and you need to, you find a way to do that. And with sermon clips, if you're trying to cut down longer sermons, and I mean, you have someone on the team who, I mean, iMovie's like super simple. You just take out a clip and then put, and maybe you don't go in depth with all of the like titles and tagging and annotations, but at least you have the consistent content. It's being uploaded, and you're going to get that view time and those subscribers, and you can share it on your other social platforms. So in a way, it's helping you create content for your other platforms that you're already managing. So you can just use that video content, which is huge on Facebook, and any Twitter, everywhere. So you can just take that, and then you have social content for your other platforms that you already spent time on with YouTube.
So multi-purpose
content.
Okay, so outside of YouTube as a millennial, how old are you? 27. So you're right there and that's a gap that a lot of churches are like, how do we reach this 27 year old? So as a 27-year-old, what other social networks are you active on?
Instagram. That's besides YouTube, my number one is Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
And then I also use Twitter now.
Yep.
And then I'm on Facebook, but I don't spend as much time on it as I used to.
Okay.
So Facebook used to be my number one in college. And now I'm always on Instagram.
Always on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then Snapchat.
And Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat too, but ever since Instagram got into stories, it's kind of taken my time from Snapchat down to Instagram. So I'm definitely on that one the most.
So for a ministry that's trying to target a 27-year-old, would you say YouTube and Instagram are the places to be, or where else should they be investing their time and energy?
I would definitely say always be on Facebook.
Okay.
Because for me, I'm not maybe active in posting on Facebook, but a lot of the businesses I follow are on Facebook, organizations, or if I need to get notified about events and different things like that, I feel like Facebook's a good place to be. But outside of that, Instagram, for sure, if you want to reach my demographic. Instagram ads work.
I mean,
even on me, I get served ads that totally relate to me, and people, you know, use them, and it's great. And then YouTube too, just for content perspective. But
it's good. It's good. Well, thanks so much for your advice. Any other advice you would give to church leaders around social media in general and how they should approach it to help reach millennials?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where the millennials are. They're on social media. Yeah. So if that's where you want to reach us, that's where you need to be. And I feel like maybe some of the older generation doesn't realize the impact that social media can have.
Yeah.
But just having that social proof and knowing, you know, growing your pages and focusing on that, and you're all over the internet, people are on their phones all the time.
Yes.
And if you can meet them where they are,
yeah,
and bring them in, then that's the way you're going to capture them. If you're not on, yeah, in that space, they don't even know you exist. I mean, maybe from a, yeah, TV commercial. I don't know how like the other advertising nowadays,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
but definitely if you want to capture them, you got to be on social media to get in front of them. So,
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to know it. You have to understand it's always changing. And just
always,
as we're talking about,
yeah,
Instagram stories,
yeah,
didn't even exist a couple
like 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
And now that's where you're spending most of your time.
Yeah.
You have a Vayner Snapchat.
Yeah. And even, I'm sure you've noticed too, like when they first got it, there were maybe 5 stories,
yep,
from people,
yep,
and Snapchat had 100 a day. And now, right, as the more I get on Instagram, I'm like, oh, there's 100,
yeah,
now on Insta,
yeah,
stories. I can't,
yeah,
get through them all like now. So,
yeah,
it's just constantly growing and changing. And
so one last question.
Yeah.
Would you wear Snapchat spectacles?
Yes.
You would. Yeah. You're excited about it?
I thought about it. At first I thought it was kind of odd, but then I,
yeah,
got into it.
It's
intriguing, and I want to do it now. Like, at first, I didn't know. I thought about it, but
yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
excited. Yeah, I want to try them,
right,
if I
too,
could.
Me too.
So you should buy some,
yeah,
and then just let me try it.
We need some office
like
Snapchat,
like you
have
the 360
stuff,
camera.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, thanks everybody for watching. So Beth, where can people follow you on social media?
So I'm on social media everywhere with my name, Beth DeBale.
Yep. We'll put that in the show notes.
Instagram,
so
YouTube,
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah.
Snapchat.
There you go.
Yeah, Twitter.
And coming soon, the Beth DeBailey Beth DeBailey TV app. So
yes,
you will see her TV app on Amazon,
yes,
Apple TV, and Roku.
Yes.
So the good folks at TVapp.church are creating that app.
Yes.
And so using that technology. So if you want a TV app for your church, go to TVapp.church and you can get one. But go look for Beth's. It should be up in the next month or so. So it's not up at the time of this recording, but look for it soon. Follow her on social media and she'll announce it, I'm sure, on her social channels. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. If you have any questions, just reach out to us at SMC Podcast on Twitter, as we're just changing our handle over to that new Twitter handle. And we look forward to connecting with you online.